Hey everyone, this is Tony Van Schoik, yet with another podcast edition here for Simple Wealth. And we showcase entrepreneurs and network marketers that are really crushing it in their space, and they're growing leaps and bounds with their businesses. And I am really honored to have somebody here today. And he was one of my most favorite people that I met at this mastermind that we were just at not too long ago. And I loved his energy. He's very high vibration like I am, which means I understand where he's coming from as an entrepreneur. But the great thing is that I really love the fact that, you know, I was able to meet, and this was a younger crowd than I'm usually used to. Usually the masterminds are a little bit older. They're 40s, 50s, sure. You know. But what I love is I love seeing this new generation of young entrepreneurs that are just coming into their own space. And that was really cool when we met, is that, you know, you're 27, you know, you've got rental properties, you've got this lighting business, and, you know, you have your entire future in front of you, and you're going to crush it, my friend. I can just tell.
Thank you.
And so that's why I wanted to have you on the show, is because I want the younger generation to hear from people that are really not going along with the social norm.
Sure.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about your background. Tell me, you know, originally, Where'd you start at working, and how did you make that transition to entrepreneurism?
So I guess going back even a little bit further, I grew up son of an electrician. So we had what we needed, never struggled really with anything, but was never pushed in that direction at all. Where I'm from, union is the way to go. So
Okay. They
really shoved that down us. My grandpa's electrician, my dad's electrician, my brother's electrician. I got six cousins that are electricians, and about seven, eight other ones that are in other union. So I was the black sheep. I went to college right out of high school. It wasn't something that I felt super comfortable with. I never felt like I was smart. I always kind of actually thought I was less smart than the average person. But what I was doing was I got a job working with adults with disabilities.
Okay.
I was teaching taekwondo through school, and I realized that the more hours I worked, my grades went down. It was really simple. And so I'm sitting there in business class thinking, I need to make more money and work less hours. It was simple as that. So I started thinking about just random things that I could do. And I ended up with that first exterior cleaning company, was the first thing that I had started.
And this was back in Ohio, correct?
Yep.
Okay.
This was Ohio. So I started that in 2017.
Okay.
Yep. 2017.
So you've been an entrepreneur now for 6 years.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Since you were 21.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell me how did the evolution start though? So obviously you're from Ohio. Now you're in Charleston. How did that happen?
So I went, it was on faith. I got an offer from Mike. I was running this business in Ohio. I wasn't really growing spiritually. I wasn't growing so much. My business was doing well. My business was growing, but not at any crazy rate. It was just like, felt stagnant, even though things were going up. The industry was kind of going down because it was getting saturated. So our numbers were going up a little bit, but I just felt like I was stuck and not getting anywhere really.
And well, if I lived in Ohio, I'd feel stuck too.
It's not a joke. It's the real thing. Like, yeah, you're constantly fighting. I don't want to talk bad about Ohio, but you're constantly kind of fighting, at least where I was. It's a declining economy. There's not much growth. There's only really one or two businesses that are bringing anybody in. And it felt like that for me. I am now, and I realize this, and I'll never live anywhere else where I don't feel rapid growth, because that's something that as an entrepreneur, I want to put myself around. Mm-hmm. And Mike Wingard, which you know him, he pretty much came to me and was like, he gave me the analogy. He's like, Clay, if you take a shark and you put him in a fishbowl, the shark will grow this big. You take that same shark and put him in the ocean, and he's king of the ocean. He rules, you know. So he's like, Clay, you're a shark in a fishbowl. And he's like, you can keep pushing and keep trying and keep, it felt like a struggle, everything I was doing. Like, I put the marketing money down and I wouldn't see the exact returns we were expecting, everything.
Yeah.
And so he pretty much just pushed me. He's like, Clay, get out of where you're from. He's like, you need to get out of your hometown. And so I did. I just kind of took a leap of faith. I sold that business, that exterior cleaning company. I had a junk removal business that I just started 6 months ago. I didn't make a killing, but I sold that business as well. And found two investors to raise the money. So I came down, I started that business without any of my own capital. And we just was off to the races.
Well, I mean, using other people's money, I mean, is one of the best things in the world, right? Especially when you have a concept that you can grow very rapidly. You know, there's a lot of people that want to invest in that.
Right.
So, well, congratulations. I didn't know that about you either.
Thank you. Yeah. So I kind of built the plan out first. So I had such a structure for the business. It felt like it was worth something, you know?
Okay.
So, I mean, even before I had any inventory or anything, I was selling a percentage of my business to raise the funds to get it started. And it's not like I raised, you know, $1 million or anything crazy, but I just knew that I needed something to get started. Mm-hmm. And luckily I was surrounded with Mike, and Brian Ronk was the other guy that, mm-hmm. that invested. And they believed in me. I think they took more of a chance on me personally than anything else. But that's where my value was. Mm-hmm. And they looked at me and they saw, Clay, you've proven that you're a go-getter for this long. Mm-hmm. And they believed in me. So
you guys have really created an incredible tribe. And that's the first thing that I noticed when I met all of you a few weeks ago was your sense of community.
Yeah.
And that's truly what entrepreneurs need. And I don't feel like we have a whole lot of that. I think we're getting better at that,
right.
But I still think that there's a ways to go.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think all entrepreneurs, but anybody that's in a leadership position or anybody that's successful.
You're listening to this, right? Leadership position.
We all kind of feel like we're left alone. Like they say, like it's lonely at the top.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to act like I'm there yet, because I'm at the fundamental, still at the adolescent stage, mm-hmm. of all this. I have so much to learn, and I want to come across as humble, but we all feel like we're alone. And that's been one of the biggest struggles as an entrepreneur. Before I found that legacy program, before I got into a mastermind, it was just, who do I talk to about this stuff? Who do I go to? I can't go to my dad. He didn't understand. It's not electrical, you know? I can't go to my brothers, anybody.
Right. So I want to ask you something about what you said before, because, you know, basically you said your entire family is union workers, which means they're employees, they're W-2'd.
Yes.
And you said that you were kind of like the black sheep of the family.
Yeah.
So did they react like when you went to college and then you finally decided that you were going to become an entrepreneur at 21, did you get a lot of backlash?
Yeah. I do come from a really supportive family.
Okay.
So, but it's like what they say, like backhanded. It's kind of like backhanded support, where I knew they didn't believe. Like it was always Clay's little thing until it was more than that, right? Mm-hmm. So like it was like, oh yeah, Clay's doing his little business, like he's getting through college with it. And I'm like, no, this is the start of my career. Like I knew everybody was undermining it. So I didn't have a lot of backlash. They still supported me, but I never had that support. I never had that actual, I knew they didn't believe in me. And it's not a shot against them, because they just want what's mm-hmm. safe for me. And there's a difference between safety and reward. Like you got to risk it to get the biscuit. It sounds so funny, but like low risk is low reward. Like, yeah, I could go get a $60,000 job like that. My family's already paved the way in my hometown. It would be easy for me to live that life. I wanted more. And I looked at myself and I'm just like, Clay, you deserve, like, I knew that I deserved more. I had this feeling even from the time I was young that I truthfully believe I deserve more than ordinary. I want ordinarily relationships, extraordinary business practices, everything. I think I deserve it all. And it's not from a cocky standpoint. It's from the most humbling place. I think everybody deserves more than they think they do.
Well, I think that people deserve whatever their desires are.
Sure.
If your desires are in line, okay, and you're doing the good for good. And I was talking to Mike about this too, is that, you know, I firmly feel that entrepreneurs are more giving.
Right.
And they want to help more people. And the more successful you become, the more people that you want to bring along this journey with you, because you truly can experience the time freedom.
Sure.
That's the fundamental difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I think you deserve whatever you want. And whatever that may be. And, you know, I had mentioned this before, is because you can't have a dream without a goal, and you can't have a goal without a dream, right? So they're dream goals. At the end of the day, you still have to have an action plan to get there.
Right.
But you can't get to the goal without not having the dream. So for me, it seems that, you know, you had you had these dreams since you were young. And so a lot of entrepreneurs that you interview, they knew that they were destined for something greater and different at a very young age.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe that. And I think back because I'm still young. And I think back to when I was younger and in elementary school and stuff like that. And yeah, I always had this thing inside me that was like, Clay, you're different. You're not better than anybody, because Lord, like God knows I'm not, but like, I've always had higher expectations, mm-hmm. and I've always felt like I was working below my expectations. Mm-hmm. So I had those feelings, but I ignored them and I didn't key off on them. And I had nobody in my life. Like now I hope that someday I can be that person for somebody else that pulls it out of them. Like, I wish I had somebody when I was in third grade that just sat me down and said, Clay, you're going to do something different than everybody else that you know. Mm-hmm. You are the one that has the potential. You can do this if you put your heart into it. And it took me until I was not 21, probably 23, 24. And I started getting through college. And I actually realized, I'm like, man, if I try, I actually was I would get straight A's in school, not straight A's. If I put any effort into studying, I would get A's every time, any class, I don't care what it was. If I tried, I excelled. And I realized that as a pattern was if my heart was in it, I did better than the average. Mm-hmm. And when I realized that pattern, I really started to direct that energy into the things that I wanted to excel in. And I guess it was a confidence thing, like just experience. So it was the experience of expecting more out of myself and meeting those expectations that gave me the confidence to say, you know what? I am like now, like the millennial thing, like I am him, like I am the guy that can do it. I can be different. I can be that.
Well, you know, it's funny that you said that, because confidence is one of the things that an entrepreneur, they can't be successful without. Consistency is another one. You know, you talk about the C's, you know, the other thing too, is that you have to have, and I love what you said about this, because there's not even for myself, I love what you said about making a plan and having all of the structure. That's one thing that most entrepreneurs lack. They're doing the how and they're not hiring the who's.
Right.
So that's a fundamental shift. Is that, I mean, it took me forever. Like, I went through three assistants before I found the one.
Right.
And you know what, but I can't trade my own child. Right. And my husband for the roles that they do, but I let them fall into those roles because I couldn't control everything.
Right.
Right. And it's not where my area of strength is being out in front of people and sharing and speaking and, you know, and just having tangibles for people to take away. I let everybody else do the rote stuff, like the financials, the event planning, you know, the social media and all that kind of stuff. Cause you do have to let, you know, people that live in that craft, if you want to be the 20 percenter, you have to hire smart.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
Well, and you hear anybody that's like hyper successful, like I'm talking like Elon and yeah, I mean, relative to me, anybody that's hyper successful. So like, I know you're crushing it too. And you're like, I'm putting you in that category.
Well, thank you.
But you'll hear and you will hear the pattern of they rely on everybody. Mm-hmm. You have to, and that's tough. I'm in that stage where I'm just now starting to branch out. Like I'm training my VA today. I have an assistant now. And so I have my team lead that's handling, you know, all my operations and everything. So I'm just now recognizing that, or I've recognized that over the last year, and I'm starting to let go of a lot of the tasks. And it's so hard. It's hard to do.
It's hard. It's hard because it's your baby.
Yeah.
Right. And you're afraid that somebody else isn't going to do that isn't going to rise to the occasion. But when they feel confident that you're confident in them, they will rise to the occasion if they're the right person.
Sure.
Sometimes it takes a few.
So far I've been lucky, but I'm still at that beginning stage. You're like, yeah, talk to me in a year. But so far we've had really good luck with that. And what I'm realizing is I'm not shit. Like, I don't know half this stuff as good as I think that I do. I'm maybe more confident than I should be. Cause I'm like, I hire an assistant, and then now my schedule is so It's like where before I've used the analogy where before I felt like I was swimming up river. Now I just got my feet kicked back and she's like, Clay, you're doing this, 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 and make sure you get this done. And I'm like, oh, okay. That's easy. Where yeah. before I was like, I was running around like a chicken with his head cut off, mm-hmm. just trying to get my checklist done for the day, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, damn, they're actually better at it than I am.
Yep.
Marketing, everything.
Yep. Yeah. The one thing that when you can let go of the marketing, the automation, this, you know, you keeping your own, personally, for me, though, I like to keep my own schedule because I like it to be a little bit flexible.
Sure.
But there's such a relief because those are non-income producing activities.
Sure.
Right? So you have to live in your craft.
Right.
Yeah. So kudos to you for realizing that. I mean, because this is now, so now that you've had the lighting companies and the rental properties, how long have you had those businesses?
Well, the lighting business started a little over a year ago. I think October 4th is when we started. So we just had our birthday a couple days ago. And then the realty business has been around since probably 2020.
Okay.
Yeah. And I bought my first two houses I bought and sold.
Yep.
Flipped those ones pretty much and then got a duplex and just a single family. And they're in Ohio, so they're not like crazy expensive or anything, but they pay all my bills.
Hello.
Yeah. And the money came from, they're paid off and the money came from my other business.
Okay.
So I started my business, all the money that I made, it was kind of this best and worst thing I ever did. I didn't know what I was like, oh, I'm actually making money. And like my bank account is like starting to build up a little bit. I'm like, what do you do? I never imagined actually having money. Like, what do you do once you start making money? And I'm like, well, you always hear people buy real estate. Okay. So I just went and wrote a check and bought a house. And then as soon as I had enough to get the next one, did the same thing.
Yep.
So it's kind of worked out, but
yeah, no, it's great because real estate is actually kind of like a, you know, you make your capital gains and then you roll it back in and then you roll it back in and you keep building that portfolio. So
sure.
Yeah, that's very smart.
Well, now that I know better, I'd like to use somebody else's money to buy my real estate.
Right?
So that's why I say it was the best thing for me at the time. Cause it's allowed me to have the freedom that the little bit of freedom that I have today. Like I could risk starting this lighting business because I knew my rent was paid.
Right.
I mean, worst come to worst there, you know? So it's like, cause I came down with no connections, anything, no knowledge of the industry. I didn't know. I didn't know.
But now that you have this knowledge in your industry, it's starting to really grow very quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huge. And a lot of it, I mean, not to give myself too much credit, but a lot of it is I'm passionate and I'm extremely passionate about learning. Mm-hmm. So like it didn't just happen. No, I spent thousands and thousands to go do masterminds and retreats, industry specific. I got around some of the best guys in the industry. I didn't just go, I made a name for myself. I stood out. I shook these guys' hands. I asked them for their number. So now I don't want to say I'm like really well known in my industry because I'm not there yet, but I know the guys that are, and I'm buddy buddies with them. I mean, I can call these guys and chat with them. So they have helped me. I can't take credit for it because it's all the networking and people I know.
But you're learning from somebody who already set the platform. You have to take all the credit for it because you wouldn't be here if you weren't doing the work.
Exactly.
So you're doing the work.
Yes.
And that's why your business is growing.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay. So a couple of questions that I do want to ask you. I know that, you know, you mentioned, you know, a little bit about some of the challenges that you've had.
Yeah.
Give me one of your biggest personal challenges and then one of your biggest professional challenges.
Oh gosh. Okay. Personal was really easy. Put the big bad boy scar on my head.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh. So you got it. Okay. So I firmly feel we were talking about having near death experiences.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell just a little bit about, and I think that's also too, what's given you your resilience.
Yeah.
Tell our audience a little bit about what happened because you truly are a miracle.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not
literally
supposed to
say here. I mean, like he had a near death experience.
Yeah. What they told me was I was more in the grave than out of the grave.
Okay. But yeah, if you could, because this happened to you when you were very young, you were 17.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So I'll stop stealing the spotlight. I want them to hear your version of what happened.
Okay. Well, I mean, it was Christmas Eve. I was on my way home to open gifts with my family. It was Ohio. So it was really bad winter, icy roads. And I went sideways into a pole and just hit my head on the pole really hard. So I ended up shattering my eye socket. I had facial reconstructive surgery If it wasn't for two plates, I'd look like a freaking alien, you know? So I have plates to hold up my face here. And then I had 11 points of bleeding on the brain. They had to do emergency traumatic brain surgery, crushed my shoulder. And yeah, my lungs shut down, my liver shut down, kidney shut down. I was in a medically induced coma for 12 hours until they got the facial reconstructive surgery. Woke up with a ventilator tube down my throat, breathing for me. And yeah, it was a lot. And I guess I remember, like, for me, it was as simple as, like, I just woke up and like, all right, like, time to fight, you know. It wasn't there. I never felt sorry for myself. There was never a moment of like, man, why did this happen to me? I don't think I really have that in me. I just woke up and was like, okay, like, it's war today. Like, it's time to battle. At that time it was walking, you know, I didn't know if I remembered math. Like, I remember, like, do I know what we were working on the last, cause I was in high school when mm-hmm. I was in class. And so those were the battles, was trying to reorganize my brain and little self-identity and yeah, I was rattled. So, I mean, it's hard to explain, but yeah, it was just kind of getting my bearings back underneath me and reminding myself, I guess, who exactly I was, you know.
That'll serve you very long into your future.
Yeah.
You know, having gone through anything like that, because you were given a second chance.
Yeah,
truly were.
Truly.
Well, thank you for sharing that, because I know that can be, you know, sometimes when you share something so personal, it can, you know, be difficult. So thank you for that. And then let's talk about a professional challenge that you've overcome.
Professionally, and I love so many. I know. Yeah. I love talking about it, but then again, like, I hate it because it's some of the worst feelings, you know, that, like, mm-hmm. we're left with. Like, when I started my pressure washing business, my exterior cleaning company, my first one, I was what, 20, 21. Uh-huh. And I was living the first house that I bought with my realty business was the first house that I rented on my own.
Okay.
So I moved out of my parents' house as soon as I could. It was like that 18-year-old, like, F you, you know, yep, I'm out. So I left that and I moved straight to wherever I could afford. I didn't know any road name different. I was from hillbilly town and I moved up to a big city where I could get my own house. And I was paying $500, maybe $450 for rent. And it was, if you know Canton, it's literally off the worst, most ghetto street you can be in. Straight off Shore. I lived off Gilmore. And I ended up buying the house for $13,000. So that tells you, like, tells you what it costs,
yeah.
Right? That tells you where it was at. You almost couldn't sell these houses because it's just dangerous.
Uh-huh.
So I start this business. I get my tax refund back and I'm teaching Taekwondo at the time, working for minimum wage. It was a passion of mine. And get my tax return back. I'm like, I'm either going to blow all this on pretty much drugs and alcohol. We're going to party it away. Because at this stage of my life, that was what I did if I got mm-hmm. money. And I was good at that. I was pretty good at partying. But so I end up, I thought, all right, I'm going to invest this. I'm going to buy something that can make me more money than I spend on it. And so I took all that tax returns and I bought my first pressure washer. I didn't even have a truck at the time. I borrowed my dad's truck uh-huh. to go and do my first job. I landed the job from the Taekwondo school. And what would have taken me an hour today, it would ended up being a 2-day job. And I completely destroyed this guy's deck. This is not a glorious story. I did a horrible job. I did really bad on this guy's deck. I tell him, look, I'll come back tomorrow. I'll fix it. Don't worry about it. I had no clue how to fix it. I'm like, I'll get it. Don't worry about it. Take my machine home. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, I'm going to make $300 tomorrow. Like, I'm rich, right? And so I'm like, I'm going to go to the bar tonight and drink. This was my mentality. I'm like, I'm going to go get drunk tonight because tomorrow is big payday. So I went to the bar, came back to my house, retwisted up, and somebody broke into my house and stole my pressure washer.
Oh, man.
So when I say from literal the first day that I was in business, and I thank God for humbling me because I needed it, but I was humbled at that moment and I cried and I'll never forget that moment. Walking in and I'm like, I put my pressure washer here. I didn't have a garage. So I'm like looking around, I'm like, where? And I found pieces and parts down the road. And I'm like, somebody broke in and took. And so I sold my car. So I cried about it that night, right? When went to bed and woke up and I sold my car the very next day on Craigslist for way less than it was worth. Took that cash, bought another pressure washer, went down, fixed the job, ended up painting over it so you could never tell, or we restained it and everything. And we actually made it right. But from day one, it was at the bottom. And that,
wow.
That was rock bottom. And I was so pissed. I wanted to beat myself up because I put myself in that position. And I was so mad at myself that I put myself in the hood. I was so mad at myself that I had everything riding on $1,000 pressure washer. And that's where it started. And from that moment on, I decided, I'm like, that's when I decided that I'm going to do better. That's when I decided that I deserve more. And give me a couple weeks, I ended up moving out of that place. I really buckled down in college. I got my grades back up. My business started. I hired a business coach, and that's when everything took off.
So I'll tell you what though, but your story is going to resonate with someone who's listening to this, and it's going to wake them up. So that way you've already helped somebody.
I hope that's all I could ever hope for.
Yep.
Yeah. Cause I went through it. So yeah, at this point, I just hope somebody can hear that and avoid that step. You don't have to hit rock bottom to bounce up. Mm-hmm. You know, what I've learned is we have so much more control over our lives and what decisions we make day to day. Mm-hmm. We're fully responsible for the good and the bad that happened to us. Fully. Right?
Yep. 100%. So. 100%. So I love what Ed Milet says. He says, it doesn't happen to you. It happens for you. You just don't know the reason yet.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So I've got two other questions for you, and then we'll wrap this up. What does wealth mean to you?
Wealth to me is options. The classic answer is financial freedom. And I agree with that, like 100% financial mm-hmm. freedom, but really it's just options, and it's options to do what I want with my time,
yep.
what I want with my resources. Like, if I want to spend X amount on this or that, then that's what wealth is. So I can't say that I feel extremely wealthy today because I'm so committed financially. Everything about me is committed to building this business, but I know the results of what I'm doing. And I know that like I can see, not that I can see the future or anything, but I know where I'll be in 5 years, 10 years.
But you know what? Entrepreneurs that have vision that can see that, that's actually, you'll probably exceed it. So that's why I'm always telling people, you know, make sure every quarter you're going back to looking at, you know, are you on target? Yeah. Are you on target to hit your goals? Are you going to exceed them? Because then you got to move the target a little bit farther away.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
So, you know, that's one thing is that, and a lot of times entrepreneurs, they can see it before regular individuals, right? They can see where they're going. They can also anticipate the challenges, or they see the challenges coming even before they're actually there, because, you know, that's what high vibration people do.
Sure.
So, okay. One other question. I feel like I'm like drilling you here, but I love what I'm hearing so far. It's absolutely phenomenal. So you did talk a little bit about your core, you know, your core values and your pillars that you live by. Anything else that we didn't go over that you feel very strongly about?
For me is faith. Mm. For me is faith. I mean, I don't know how much you talk about this stuff on your podcast.
We talk about it a lot. It's one of my five pillars.
Okay. I'm like, am I allowed to open that up?
Yeah.
Faith is huge for me. That's where everything comes from for mm-hmm. me. So like what I feel like I have such a bigger mission, and it's been since I've been a believer. I was not an actual believer before.
Same. When did that happen in your life? When that switch happened? Cause it was almost like a light switch for me.
It was.
Yes.
Mine was, yeah, it was super like, yeah, it was a big deal for me. It was right when my business took off. It was when it was right before my business took off.
Okay.
So it was when I was like 22, 23. Yep. 22, 23. And a lot of it had to do with being around Mike and being part of that group. Mm-hmm. And I just saw a pattern in people that had high levels of faith in business. And it's like, they had this confidence about them that they knew what they were doing. Like I knew I wanted to hit X amount by December 31st, mm-hmm. but I couldn't tell you it's the why factor, I guess. Like I couldn't tell you why, or my why might've just been like the time it was like, I wanted to get a new truck or like, mm-hmm. I want to whatever. It was so, so empty of even goals. And so like my faith has just given me such a big reason to have a why. Mm-hmm. I truthfully believe. And all I want is I just want to be able to make enough money to change the world. I want to keep working so that I can, like, I have enough for myself and I could take care of myself and just kind of relax a little bit. I know I'm not trying to act like I'm something more than I'm not, but like I could live the life that I was destined to back home. Right. Mm-hmm. I could chill. but I want to influence people. I want to use my story, the pain and the struggles that God put me through. I want to make sure that that was not just for me. I want to make sure that other people can benefit from hearing that stuff. And I want to use the experiences and the negative things that I felt to try to help so many other people. Like, my vision is so far beyond me.
Mm. But that's what true visionaries are. And you are a true visionary. So, okay. So we can go back and talk about the shorter term goals, but what's your ultimate big, hairy, audacious goal? I want the ultimate.
That's something that I probably haven't put enough time into thinking about, or what I should say is I should spend more time thinking about that, because I'm so stuck on this 1, 3, 5 year. My brain isn't thinking farther down the road. And it should be, especially because I recognize I have high levels of potential. Mm-hmm. The idea is just, like I said, somehow, and I don't know what this means, but I just want to be able to make other people's lives better. So I'm looking for that. I'm kind of passionately pursuing that. Like, what is next for me? It's not more service industry. And I love lighting. I love what I'm doing. Like, I already know what we're going to do once we break that $1 million mark. And once we get to the 5 and what it takes to get to the 10, I have a semi structure of what that. So like, I don't even want to talk about that kind of stuff. Like, my big goal is so much bigger, and I want to be able to have some sort of influence on people in a mass.
Okay. So I actually have a homework assignment for you. It's to go home and write down what your ultimate goal would be. Writing your eulogy, just like, you know, we saw a individual do. I thought that was very powerful. Right. Sure. But what kind of legacy do you want your life to, you know, your life to leave? And so for our listeners listening to this, I'm giving you the same homework tasks. And if you guys have ever, you know, done the vision board workshop or done any of that stuff, where, you know, we're teaching you to dream really big and not put any caps on your dreams. Just go home and write down everything that you want to do. And then you look at that and then you refine it, but it usually it has to do more with, you know, your walk with being of service to other people. And I'm not saying growing your business is not being of service to other people, because you're providing them opportunities. That could be a big part of where your future is going to be.
Sure.
But a lot of times people that are young, it doesn't hit you. And then it's like you're 35 and then you're 40. And then you're like, okay, I have all these goals and dreams and aspirations that I want to do. Okay. But I haven't gotten any closer to that goal than when we talked about it 10 years ago.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
So it's really important for anybody that's listening to this to be very, very clear on your objectives, be very, very clear on what you want, because when you talk about your vision and your dreams, that's you telling your life what you want from it.
Right.
Yeah. So I highly encourage that you put some serious thought into that and just write down what you truly want to achieve. And you look at pillars, like, and I'll give you an example. My pillars are faith, I call them family, friends and family, finances, freedom, and fitness, right? So I have these 5 pillars. And so that's how I live my entire life. And, you know, I look at it and I say, okay, what do I want to do in each category?
Right.
What is my big dream for all 5 categories? Where do I want to be? So, and I don't necessarily, you can work it backwards and put a time stamp on some of them. Like the finances and fitness are finite. Family, not so much, because you never know who's going to come into your life and who you're going to connect with.
Sure.
So that's going to be a little bit different. And then freedom, that's right here, right now and forever. But, you know, just different things like that. And, you know, so, and especially for the younger generation out there, you guys aren't jaded yet. You know, you start getting way more jaded, you know, when you've gone to college, you've been in the shit career that, you know, that you didn't choose and it's not your life path. And then you feel stuck.
Right.
Don't feel stuck.
Right.
Just like what you were mentioning before.
Yeah, for sure.
So.
And that's a message, especially for the young people. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, don't wait for anything. Don't wait till you're married and you got 2 kids and think that, oh yeah, someday, you know, in 2 years from now, like when all the stars align and everything in my life is perfect, that's when I'll start trying to make progress or maybe start the next business or whatever. It's like, Just do something.
Yep. I'll tell you, most people that sit there and say that to themselves are bullshitting themselves. They're not being honest.
Right.
Okay. So Clay, to wrap this up, what would be your one final piece of advice to all of the young entrepreneurs? And you've already given us some great tangibles, but what would be your final piece of advice to any entrepreneur that's out there listening, looking to build businesses and build wealth?
Especially for the young people, because, and I think the older generations will like agree with me that these younger generations, it's like they're losing that grit. They're losing that, like that animal that's inside of you that says, no matter what comes across, I won't give up. Like I've been down so many times. But something that I can say, I can look anyone in the eye and say, is I truthfully have not given up on myself. Never. And it's something that it's not in my vocabulary. So like when things get tough, the tough get going. Right. And so I would just say, do some research on grit, find out what that means, and apply it in your life. Because without that level of grit, because I can promise you, if you do anything worth talking about, if you do anything that ends in success, you have to struggle. There's a part of it that it can get so tough, it's hard to see it through. Mm-hmm. And that's where most people crumble and fall off. And it's just some days, I remember my Taekwondo instructor, he told me, and this was when I was going back to college, he's like, Clay, you have to move forward. He's like, some days that means you're running, and some days you're going to feel great about it. You're going to feel like you're running. He says, but some days that means you're crawling and you're on your belly and mm-hmm. you're just praying. And he's like, you just keep moving forward.
Smart man.
He was. He is. Yep. Adam Karam. He's awesome.
That's awesome. But you know what? It goes true for everybody. Yeah. Because most people will settle for the status quo. That's what we're taught.
Right.
We're taught mediocrity.
Right.
And so this is why, you know, I can see, you know, a year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, how many people that you're going to, you know, how many lives you're going to impact, but you definitely have got to get out there and tell your story a whole hell of a lot more. Okay. Because it's very inspiring.
Okay.
So, and I didn't, you know, we never talked about that time your pressure washer was stolen. I'm really glad that you shared that with our audience today.
Yeah.
Because that's, I mean, you're in the shitter.
Right.
That's it. So right. What are you going to do?
Right.
It's the only way that you're going to be successful is to learn from your failures and mistakes. They're called lessons.
Yeah. And that's the level of grit. I mean, it would have just been so much easier for me to go get a job. Mm-hmm. I had every option. I had a million opportunities, and people telling me I'm crazy for what I was doing. But
they're also coming from a place of, you know, a job just over broke, right?
Yes.
So, and the other thing, have you ever read Angela Duckworth's book, Grit?
No.
I have a copy upstairs. I'll get it for you.
Okay.
So it's, I'm always paying it forward with books, but it's really good.
Oh, how funny. How ironic. It's called Grit.
Yeah. It. Yeah. Anything else before we wrap up today?
No. No. That's pretty much it. It's just that it's a matter of not giving up. That's what it's been for me.
Yep.
I mean, I said it whenever I had my speech there in Hilton Head, where it's like, it was the, who am I to be brilliant? I mean, I can't sit here and say that I'm this or I'm that, or I came from this family, or my last name got me into these doors. I'm just a simple guy who was born to live a simple life. And I believed in myself, and I took a step outside of your average box. And I'm expecting extraordinary results, mm-hmm. extraordinary results. And I know that that's what's coming for me. So yeah,
that's awesome.
Praise God.
Clay, thank you so much for being on today. Okay. You guys definitely got to follow him. Where can they find you on social media?
I'm on Instagram. Just my first and last name. That's okay. Clay Neisel. We're on Facebook. I'm on Facebook. And then, business wise is same thing. Legacy Lights on Facebook.
Okay.
But yeah, just trying to build out the personal brand. And yeah, so find me on Instagram. That's my best thing.
Okay, awesome. And we'll include all of your personal information so people can find you easily if they, you know, want to talk to you, or you got to be on some other podcasts and get on there and tell your story, because you're going to be inspiring to thousands and thousands of people.
I think it's time. I think it's time to start investing in myself.
Yeah, 100%. And eventually you've got to write a book.
Okay. All right, I think I'm there.
All right, you guys, take care so much. Thank you so much. This is Tony Van Schoik with Simple Wealth. And we're so excited. And Clay, thank you so much for being here. You are awesome, my friend. Love you. All right, you guys, take care. We'll talk to you soon. And this podcast, remember, follow us, Apple, Spotify, YouTube on there as Simple Wealth as well. Noon on Mondays, each new episode is released. All right, you guys, take care. Love you. Bye-bye.